You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
From the status of those Taliban prisoners to the released 28-year-old Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who's in a U.S. military hospital in Germany now where he's said to be in stable condition, the Landstuhl Regional Medical Center released a statement indicating that Bergdahl is being treated for dietary and nutrition needs. 5 years in captivity, though, there will be a readjustment. Psychological treatments are to be expected. Stephen Farrell is a reporter for The New York Times, knows what being held hostage by the Taliban can be like. He and his interpreter were kidnapped while visiting the site of a NATO airstrike in northern Afghanistan in 2009. Farrell was held for 4 days. British commandos staged his rescue. He joins me now in the studio. Stephen, welcome. Now, I suspect you are sensitive about any sense that what you went through is equal to the 5 years Bergdahl spent in captivity with the Taliban. But where do you think the intersections lie?
As you say, nobody, unless you've been through something like this, you can't really understand what it's like at all. And somebody like me who's been through it for a few days can't understand at all what it's like for 5 years. But this readjustment is putting it mildly. I mean, I think he's certainly going to face a very long path back to normality. He's going to, if my experience was any guide, he'll have been led across the tarmac of the base where he was led straight to a phone to talk to his family, straight into to see the doctors first, and then we'll have begun, and in his case it'll be a very long process, a very strictly regimented and carefully thought out series of procedures that are designed to bring him out of the world he was in and back into the new world of order and discipline, and you know, he's still a serving soldier.
And there will be a debriefing, attempts to determine what information he might have about what's going on the battlefield.
No question about that. I mean, I'm a civilian, and when I was after the doctors had finished with me, thankfully, very quickly in my case, I was sat in front of a table with a lot of people in different uniforms and different insignias, representing all sorts, I'm sure, of different agencies, asking me a lot of questions for many hours. Mm. And now, in his case, obviously, it's been many years, so that's not going to be an interview lasting a few hours. That's going to go on a long time. They're obviously going to want to know a lot about the opening minutes, how it happened, how he came to be in Taliban hands. But he's also, as I say, he's a serving American soldier. They're going to want to know, they're going to want intelligence from him. This is going to be many different aspects of this investigation.
You know, this is a sensitive subject. I mean, I don't know what your circumstances of capture are, but in many cases of people being taken hostage or taken prisoner, the circumstances of their capture can sometimes be ambiguous. I mean, in the sense of, a journalist making a terrible mistake, a too risky calculation, that once you're released, you suddenly carry a kind of guilt about, well, I'm sort of the cause of my problem, even though I was held hostage for a long time. In the case of Bergdahl, it's unclear what the precise circumstances are of his wandering away from the base, of him ending up in the Taliban captivity. All of that complicates this readjustment process. Can you address that a little bit?
It would be really foolish to speculate about what happened in those early. I'm sure many people have read accounts of fellow soldiers and so on and so forth with their opinions. I mean, I think we're going to be hearing a lot about this over the coming days and weeks. There will be investigations. The administration will be held to account, and there will be leaks and dribs and drabs and so on and so forth.
And all those opinions can be very painful.
Well, it'll be interesting to know if he's going to be listening to them, if he's going to be hearing them, if he's aware of them, what access he will have or will be granted or will demand to the outside world. I mean, they may decide that it's best to shield him from some of the negative opinions out there. He may demand to know. His family may give him a sense of what's out there, but protect him from the worst. I mean, all of these things are variables that we don't know how much he knows and will know. One thing's for sure, he can't spend the rest of his life in a bubble. At some point, whether it be weeks or months, he's going to have to come out, address it, and meet people. And I doubt people are going to be shy about expressing their opinions to his face.
In your case, you were released by a commando operation.
Yeah, I was.
And it wasn't entirely successful, that operation. Describe.
No, I mean, one British soldier was killed, and my Afghan colleague, a journalist, Sultan, was killed as well. It was a very bloody operation. Many Taliban were killed. It was a firefight in the middle of a village in northern Afghanistan. And I was very, very, very lucky. I know that. I knew that. I'll always know that.
Do you think that circumstance for you and others like it may have constrained attempts by the U.S. military to try to free Bergdahl using a military operation?
All these circumstances are different. It was a different part of the country. But yep. I'll give you an example.
Yep.
I was held for 4 days. On the third night, we heard helicopters come in, clearly to come and get us. They swooped into the village we were in. They went to the wrong house, or they went to a house for whatever reason. They went to a house some 100 meters away. We heard them come in over our house and go to the wrong. The Taliban immediately grabbed us and moved us to a school and literally lay us down on the floor surrounded by dozens of young children.
What was going through your mind?
And kept us there. Well, we obviously knew why they were doing it. They were doing it to create a human shield.
Now, you forget logic. Were you terrified?
I was constantly terrified throughout the experience.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
you're just aware. You become hyper alert and hyper aware to everything. You're judging every nuance. You're weighing all your own words. You're weighing every syllable. And I think that's an interesting state of mind to be in, because even when you come off the helicopter, your body is freed. You're talking to the doctor, you're being asked, are you okay in this respect? Your mind isn't. Your mind is still, to a certain extent, back in a house or back in a field. And I'm sure that'll be the case with him, that he'll be free, but he'll be looking backwards emotionally and intellectually to some extent. Parts of your brain move at different speeds.
Freedom is a foreign experience.
It's a very new experience for him. I mean, for the first time, he's not going to have to be thinking, will every word I say get me killed? Will every new person I meet be the person who executes me? Will every new house I'm put into be under the charge of somebody who just loses it and empties a magazine into me? I mean, he will have been through all of that. Whatever the initial reasons for his disappearance, just looking at his tape, his videotape, let me go, let me go, let me go, repeatedly over and over again. I mean, he's clearly a very worried man trying to get out. That's what it looks like anyway.
Stephen, thanks so much for those insights. Stephen Farrell's a reporter for our partner, The New York Times, in the custody of the Taliban for 4 days back in 2009. Thanks so much.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Reputation.com. encouraging everyone to check their online search results, because search results define you or your business. Learn more at reputation.com.